Today, I'm addressing cultural pushback I received with advice on how being a mother hampers life and confuses the value of one's work. Plus, I'm sharing how to dig deep and develop a biblical worldview on motherhood with two simple questions. Welcome to She Proves Faithful, the podcast to help you build fruitful Christian culture in your home and beyond. I'm Lauren, a wife, a mom to four hilarious kids, and I love teaching women about the rich blessings we have in Christ and how applicable His Word is to our everyday living. Together, we will dive into God's Word and learn how to faithfully cultivate lasting fruit, building up God's kingdom now and for generations to come. Worldview, theology, parenting, marriage, personal growth, and Christian living, it's all here. Welcome to the show. Hi, everyone. Welcome to the She Proves Faithful podcast. I am so glad you're here. My name is Lauren, and I have to be honest with you, I wish I could tell you what episode number this is, but because we're releasing some episodes a little out of order because of Mother's Day coming up, I'm guessing this will be episode 261. So just by the time it's posted, you will know, but at the time of the recording, it's just it's like a fun little puzzle that I'm working on. But I am glad that you are here today for this motherhood episode. I love talking about motherhood. I'm a mother of four children. I love them dearly. It is days full of training and giving yourself away and at the same time being so filled by the Lord and so much purpose, so much fun, so much crazy, so much growth. Before we get into that, I have to say thank you so much to my Patreon supporters. Maybe you don't know about Patreon. It's just a way to support local teachers, artists, podcasters, people who you love and want to support. They have these accounts called Patreon accounts, and you can give to them monthly, and it helps support their work. And I have a Patreon account that I started several years ago after one of my listeners and friends said, "How can I support this podcast?" And so that was birthed, and I'm so thankful for that because over the years, I've had so many people back this adventure and be able to fund and support this podcast. So thank you so much. If you're interested in becoming a supporter at $5 a month, you can go to patreon.com/sheprovesfaithful. Well, let's start with a life hack before we move in to talking about motherhood. And I get to share just a wonderful anonymous comment on my blog from like 12 years ago. My life hack today has to do with something that has helped me keep the chaos down in my house, and that's with managing stuff, managing items. We're not there yet. It's not perfect, and the system works when everybody participates, but sometimes people get sick, you know, and things get lax, or you're on vacation, or, you know. But for the most part, we have separated some of our big toys into bins, and we keep them in the garage. I think we have 2, 4, 6, 8. I think we have 8. One is literally the catch-all bin, which as I develop the skill, I'm hopeful that those will find homes or be given away to delight other parents with their, you know, in their children. But we have like a kitchen bin, and so it has the play food in it. And then we have a Duplo bin. We have a baby bin with the baby stuff. We have a craft bin with all the crafty things. I think we have 2 craft bins. So that needs to change. And, oh, one of my bins is gift wrap. So that's not really fun for the kids, but it is fun for me. A gift wrap bin. It's got all the bags and the tissue paper and more bags. And if it doesn't fit in there, it doesn't exist. No, I have a ribbon box too. Anyway, so that has helped because we can take out a big bin of like blocks. People can play with them for the day and then they go back. If you have older kids, this can totally work too. You know, we have like a microscope science bin. Whatever you have in abundance that can kind of be kept together so that the pieces are together, Hot Wheels tracks, cars, you know, they are together and then they can come out and you can rotate through them. We don't do this with all the toys. We like to keep the Legos upstairs under the bed. They're in just a Tupperware that fits under the bed. And we do Legos in the bedroom. It's a nice quiet activity. Sometimes they come downstairs, but that's really helped kind of keep down the toy clutter. I will encourage just finding some Tupperwares, big Tupperwares, and putting them in there and see if rotation helps cut down on not only the chaos, but also the enthusiasm of a toy. Well, let's dive into motherhood and kind of the cultural pushback that there is. And maybe all of you have faced before, where, I mean, depending on how many you have, when you have kids, why you have kids, I mean, the culture has an opinion. And I'm here to share some, I call it cultural pushback, from when I made an announcement on my little tiny blog 12 years ago that we were going to have a baby. Then share two questions you can ask when you get cultural pushback to kind of figure out the trajectory of this worldview, of any worldview that a person is coming from, including the biblical worldview. All right, so here we go. The other day, I stumbled across my old blog. Do you guys have an old blog? Blogs still exist now, mostly, I feel like, recipe blogs, but lifestyle blogs were huge, weren't they? And I stumbled across mine, and I made it because I just got married. We found out that I was going to need open heart surgery, which was a total surprise, was not expecting that. And I ended up having it 3 months before our first wedding anniversary. And I was using the blog to kind of update people on my progress and kind of recovery. And then after that, it turned into, this is so fun. I'm going to post pictures of these mediocre recipes I'm making that, you know, because I've never really cooked before. And now I'm cooking for my husband. Or crafts that I'm making with glue guns and feeling so proud, like these felt flowers. And it just was the day. I got into some multi-level marketing for a hot minute, like 3 months, and was posting pictures of these purses. Aren't they so cute? And I just really enjoyed the blog. But then we found out that we were going to have a baby, and I was so excited. And I made this whole pregnancy announcement, and we like colored on this chalkboard. So fun. And I got comments on my blog from, you know, I had like 15 followers. And back then, how did you even get your blog out there except maybe a Google search if you were searching for like mediocre newly wed kitchen recipes? So I don't know how people other than my friends found the blog, but I had, you know, a couple friends. They were so kind and they would leave comments. But one day when I made the announcement of my pregnancy, I got the anonymous comment, you know, from Anonymous. And this is what they said after I made the announcement. They wrote, "Why do young and talented women resort to childbearing to justify their existence on earth? Instead of seeking to help the community or to further their careers, they breed. Useless. Maybe you don't like your job or have no career prospects. What to do? Baby. That should keep you busy for about 8 years. Then you are back to square one." Thank you, Anonymous. Thank you that you left this comment so I could talk about it now. I laugh at it now thinking that they ended that their anonymous comment with, "That should keep you busy for about 8 years." At the time, I didn't know what I was getting into when it comes to motherhood, but you know, we're 11 years in and I don't think it's going to slow down. I think this is going to keep me busy until I'm gone, you know, like until my children's children, Lord willing, are around me. And so that just makes me chuckle now. Like, I don't know where the 8 years came from. All right. So let's talk about this worldview. I love this comment so much. Thank you, Anonymous, because it is classic worldview. We see it. What is our purpose? Where does our purpose come from? And it's just clearly written here when we have the phrase justify their existence on earth, and we have the purpose of careers and jobs, and then what keeps us busy. So when we're considering worldview, how we view the world, what we're thinking about and what our hands find to do, we're really looking at, one, who has the authority to tell us how the world works? And then the second thing is, what is our purpose? What do we do? What is that authority telling us to do? And then how do we go about creating value and giving us purpose in this life? And for someone who does not believe in the Lord, they are, I mean, the spectrum really is either theism or nihilism, you know, like life is meaningless, nothing. And in between there, you have really humanism, where you're in charge, you're the authority, you're the maker of your destiny, and then you're the person telling yourself what brings value, purpose, and worth. And you get enough of that collectively, and then you start having these conversations of children are, you know, a result of being bored or not having career aspects or prospects. So that's really what we need to ask, is who is the authority, and then what is the purpose from that authority? We can see the humanism in this comment of the person being committed to sharing what gives purpose and value and their authority on the matter. I love to contrast this with the Word of God, to see a biblical worldview and ask those same questions. Who is the authority? What is our purpose? Where is our identity and that value coming from because of what God has called us to? So we see Psalm 128, such a fantastic psalm. It's like a family psalm, you know, or cultural psalm. This is a cultural song. If you want to see Christian culture, let's memorize Psalm 128 and pray it and live it out. So this is the title that was given to this psalm is Blessed is Everyone Who Fears the Lord. It says, Blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in his ways. You shall eat the fruit of your labor of your hands. You shall be blessed, and it shall be well with you. Your wife will be like a fruitful vine within your house. Your children will be like olive shoots around your table. Behold, thus shall the man be blessed who fears the Lord. The Lord bless you from Zion. May you see the prosperity of Jerusalem all the days of your life. May you see your children's children. Peace be upon Israel. So this psalm really illustrates what life is like for one who fears the Lord. Honestly, in that anonymous comment, we see what life is like who follows the ways of man. But this is a person who fears the Lord and walks in the ways of the Lord. This psalm is about the one who fears the Lord and obeys him, and then the consequences of that fear and obedience. And according to this scripture, it's blessings and being able to flourish. It is not starting back from square one. We see prosperous and successful employment in this psalm. We then see joyful, peaceful homes with what culture would call a nuclear family. You have a husband, a wife, children. You see the blessing of living long enough to see your grandchildren. And finally, you see this satisfaction of seeing the kingdom of God flourish. The church, Matthew Henry would say, the church of God in a flourishing state. This is the blessing of the one who fears the Lord and walks in his ways. Walks in his ways means obedience. So obeying the Lord. Matthew Henry, who's one of my favorite Bible commentators, he wrote that religion and piety, or obedience, are the best friends to outward prosperity, giving God praise that it is so and that we have found it so, and encouraging ourselves and others with it. So I'm going to break this down to two parts. The first is that outward prosperity. When we read the scriptures, we find our worldview, and it should be wrapped up in the truth of God and who we are according to him. And so we have our worldview impacting our thoughts and also involving our actions. And here we have a full biblical worldview of godliness, and that there is prosperity when we fear and obey the Lord. And that belief impacts our hands. And so we find ourselves diligently doing these things that we're called to do, commanded to do. And from there, we reap the blessings of the Lord. Then we have Henry giving us this encouragement that we give praise that this is so because God designed it this way, that obedience would lead to prosperity. And then also that we would acknowledge that this is so. We read it in scriptures. By faith, live it out. We experience the blessings of the Lord. And then we encourage others that this is the truth. That anonymous person needs to hear the truth. And we ourselves need to believe the truth that this is the way to true prosperity. This is the way to experience the blessings of the Lord, is to fear him and to walk in his ways. And that's where we truly will prosper, where our identities will be met, where we will understand our purpose, where we will be able to discern messages that are coming at us from every which way. And so in order to develop that biblical worldview, we need to be in scriptures. And then we ask ourselves, by what authority, and then to what is my purpose because of this authority? And here we have scriptures saying, the Lord is the authority. We're called to walk in his ways, fear him, and then have families as far as you're able to bear children. The women should be the heart of the home. Their children are these wild olive shoots that, Lord willing, will be grafted in and are a blessing to be around. And there will be peace at the table. And your community, your Christian community, can be flourishing. And these are promises of the Lord. I'll end with this because, like Matthew Henry said, to encourage other people that this is so. And that's what I'm doing for you today. It is so. Scripture is this way. It is true. And we're reminded that, well, first to give praise to God, that this is the way he designed things, that it is so. Even if somebody else comments on your blog and says it's not that way, that it is so. And that you will come across people that have their worldview rooted in humanism and therefore will not understand the ways of the Lord or the fear of the Lord. And they will apply their thinking and their hands will have a different outcome and they will have a different trajectory. Because this person, the anonymous comment, they did talk about work, and work is very biblical. We are created to work. We are created to bring value to this earth. We are created to do things for the glory of God. Work is very Christian. Work is very good. But to what end? Who are we working for? Who's the authority where we're working for that person's glory and we work for the glory of God? And then what purpose are you working? Are you working for yourself? Not like self-employed, but working for your own glory, for your own pride, for your own ambition alone. Okay, so we know that we're called to work and to build up God's kingdom. Christians should work like Christians. But you see where the authority is coming from. You see to what purpose. And we see a different trajectory. We see one that is headed toward the glory of God, to the building up of his kingdom. We see the other trajectory of building up self and just a crumbling society. Because people are the authority. That person is the authority. We also need to understand that the Lord has called us to be fruitful and multiply. He's the authority. He has called us to make children as far as he has made us able. Some people struggle with infertility. We had secondary infertility and it was crushing. And so my heart goes out to all those who want to be mamas. We were already parents when we lost several children. And the hole that we felt was so deep, and yet I still had children that really blessed me in that grieving. And so I'm relying on the scriptures that say, go be fruitful and multiply. So it's more of an attitude of we don't want children, or we're happy without children, or, you know, falling under the deception of the world that says, put your career first, or you're too young to have children, whatever it is that the world is perpetuating to keep you from obeying the Lord. I talked in my last podcast, it's coming up. I told you everything is kind of mixed up, but I'm going to talk about the Tower of Babel. And God had told them to fill the earth, and they stayed in one place to build this tower. And so the Lord confused their language. And we must remember what the scripture says. It points to who is in charge and then what our purpose is. And then to know that it's not just 8 years that will keep you busy. We're called to train our children up in the fear and admonition of the Lord. This is a long haul purpose. Over time, your relationship or your authority and your relationship changes in terms of what you are teaching and how you're admonishing your children. But when they're in your home, there are clear ways that we're called to walk in when we parent our children. So combat these cultural pushbacks of worldviews that are rooted in humanism that want to tell you how many kids you should have, why you should or shouldn't have children, things about your career or job prospects, whatever it is, go to the Lord. Find your wisdom in scripture. Find out that God desires godly offspring. God created us to fill the earth, to be fruitful and multiply, and to know that that is purposeful. And because he's our authority, we obey that, we will see blessing and prosperity in that. And there is a host of wonderful things that come out of motherhood. Not only do you have children that the scriptures say, having children around your table brings joy. It is a joy for us to have children at your table, and that these children, we are charged with sharpening them, that they might be arrows that we send out into this world. So we have the privilege of sharpening the next generation. Don't send out dull arrows. Don't let the world beat you down with their illogical reasons of why children either don't matter or why, you know, well, I call it breeding. I mean, I had a OBGYN tell me one time, I told her it would be so fun to have twins. And she goes, women aren't made to litter. I was like, what? I didn't know that was like medical terminology. I don't know. I was like, there's twins in the Bible. Can't be all that bad. So meet those messages with who is the authority and what is the purpose. And that will help you in your daily mothering when things are difficult or chaotic or frustrating, or the Lord is really using your children as spiritual sandpaper to get to the hard places of your heart. So the Lord is good. He does it to sanctify us, and He does it to bless us in many ways. And that's just a small part of motherhood. Well, thank you so much for joining me today. I pray that you would be the very heart of your house, that you would be a fruitful vine, that your children would be like olive plants around your table. May the Lord do that in your life. May He equip you with the scriptures to know that He's the authority, and encourage you with your purpose, and that you would find your identity in Christ and what He calls you to do. You can sign up for my newsletter at sheproofsfaithful.com/newsletter, and you can also become a supporter of the podcast at patreon.com/sheproofsfaithful. I almost forgot it there for a second. And if you're enjoying this podcast, I'd love it if you left a review on iTunes. That would be so helpful in getting this podcast out to many more ears. May the fruit of our hands bring Christ glory and serve to advance His kingdom.